All right, open your Bibles to where we were last time. Let's continue from there. This is speaking about inspired by Isaac. That's the message we have been on for some time. And while on it, we are learning a lot of things. The book of Genesis chapter 24. I will just continue what I began to develop last time. All right, if you are there, let's read from verse 1. I'll read, just pay attention. Look into your Bible, please. I don't like people staring at me when I'm reading the Bible. You make me feel like Michael Jackson. All right? Michael Jackson's an entertainer. He comes to entertain, at least he used to come to entertain people. I am not an entertainer. So I like you looking down at your Bible so that I feel like see if you are part of the teaching, all right, class. He said, now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Now, because of time, I will jump here and there. I'll just slow down where it's important we take particular note of. And Abraham, verse 2, said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I live. But you will go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Shall I take your son back to the land from where you came? Then Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth and who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. He said, he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. But the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this, my oath. Only do not take my son back there. That's verse 8, that's the emphasis. And so the servant swore concerning the matter. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master, and set out with a variety of good things of his master's in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. He said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now, may it be that a girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also. May she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this, I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. And then we all know the rest of the story, how Rebecca showed up, and then she happened to be a relative, and she was the one that was chosen as a wife for Isaac. And we know that she was chosen by God, but discovered by the servant of Abraham. Now, this is the main text that we have been using for our, that is, we started reading last time. It's part of our teaching on inspired by Isaac. This is a point I want to make again. God made a promise, and what he's doing is to fulfill his promise. The beautiful thing about, you know, those days when we're young Christians in the word of faith, we're learning the scriptures. Some taught us that God wrote the New Testament for us Christians, but then the Old Testament he wrote for the Jews. Later, and I believed it then. But later on, as I began to learn some more, I heard somebody explain this, and it was so clear in the scriptures that it's not so. That God wrote his promises in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. He prophesied them by the prophets. And Paul explained this in the book of Romans chapter 1. But that in the New Testament, our eyes were opened to be able to understand the promises. So you find out that Peter said that those who prophesied did not know what they were talking about. And when they sought to know, the Spirit of Christ in them said to them clearly, it's not for your time, it's for a time to come. That is what many of us call Old Covenant, Old Testament. What we lack is understanding. What we lack is the ability to decode the things that are in there. But actually, the promises of God are in there. Are you getting my point? And what God is doing is to fulfill those promises in your life, to fulfill those promises in mine. and what you need to do as a Christian for your life so that your life will improve, your life will be better, is to seek out those promises and make a demand on them. It's very important because, you see, God has given you something does not mean it will automatically come in your life. It's not because he doesn't wish it so. He does wish it so. But what happens is that there's what the Bible calls, Paul was speaking. He said, a great and effectual door has been opened unto me. But what? There are many adversaries. So what happens is that the adversary comes to try and steal that which God has given to you. And except you know, if you listen to our radio series then, I'm talking about knowledge. Even here I taught it, that knowledge is spiritual things, is power. Knowledge is not just information, it is power. It is power. If you know, it becomes impossible for the adversary to take away that which belongs to you. That is why you must seek out to know the promises that God made concerning your life. You must seek out to be consciously aware and persuaded, are you getting my point, about those things. It's when you are persuaded about them, then you can lay hold of those promises and demand them by faith. And life will always respond because the Bible says that God is watching over his word to perform it. So that's what I've been talking about. So what God wants to do in your life is simply to fulfill his promises. I hope you're getting that point there. All right. So we've been talking about that. Now, where I ended last time, which is where I want to continue, is that, you know, I made a statement. If I had to, I was careful to ensure so that I wouldn't confuse people. I began to explain what I call the geographical tie to the manifestation of the promises. Okay? I said, this was a confusion I had to clarify. I'm not saying that God cannot bless people anywhere. I said, but because life has this assignment, I said, this is what we must remove from our minds. We must never think that our blessing, as that's a general principle now, is tied to rich place. That is, somebody say you want to do business, say you must be in Lagos. Except I'm in Abuja, I cannot make money. Except I'm in America, I cannot prosper. I said, we must never, ever think like that. However, this is what I want us to understand. Look at this particular portion we read. What I try to bring out from there is the fact that God says simply to them that Abraham was speaking to the servant. Said, make sure you do not take my servant and my son back to the land from which I came. The reason is because the land which I am in here is a land of promise. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, where I'm coming from is not the land of promise. The place where I am in right now is a land that God promised to give to my descendants. Therefore, that we are not saying that God requires a good land to bless people, and we know that's not to be that's a matter of fact that he does not require it. However, life is an assignment. Do you understand my point? And I explained something last time, which is what I want to get into again today. When we're talking about this geographical tie to the manifestation of divine promises, this is how it works. It is not just physical geography, even though that also applies. It is not just physical geography, but there's an economic geography, there's a spiritual geography about it. And that is why God gave each person a gift. That's why God empowered each person, all right, with a particular ability. That ability is tied actually to what he wants you to do in life, and that is what constitutes your own land of promise. Please, you must understand, it's very important. We are talking about the manifestation of the promises of God. That there are things that God wants to do in your life. And I'm trying to explain something. This is why I began last time. That's our last meeting on this. That God has picked a land for each person. God has a promise for your life, but it will not just manifest just anywhere. Very interesting. This matter, let's take prosperity as an example. I believe that God wants all his children to prosper. If you believe that, say amen. It's a promise. But I'm saying again today that it is tied to a particular... Now, please, be careful when you're interpreting what I'm talking about, the geography now. I am not saying a rich place is required for the manifestation of divine promises. No. I'm saying you must identify your own land of promise. And there are two sides to that land. There is a physical land. It is not everywhere. You know, I was talking to a brother some time ago, and we were just talking about it. You know, that then, you know, I don't like noise. You know, this traffic in Enugu is already getting to me. I don't like it. All right? So those days, I was living in Lagos. So I said that this Lagos, you need grace to live there. Now, the truth is that I didn't have that grace really, even though I lived there for a while. It's just not my thing. There are people who like it. Bishop Oyedepo used to say those days, that he always liked living in the periphery of cities. Okay? At the time, he was living in Yanopaja, and after he moved to Ota. He said, if the place gets too populated, he will move again. You understand? And immediately, I don't know whether he meant it literally, but he said that that's how prophets are. They don't like living in the centers or cities. I am personally, I'm like that. I have never liked crowded places. So, that day we were talking with the brother. He just said that, I said, there's a special, particular grace you need to be stay in this Lagos. And he said something like, no, that the Bible says that anywhere you go, you know, anywhere the sole of your foot treads, he has given you to possess. I said, excuse me, sir. No, you got that wrong. Even though the quotation is correct, but the people he was telling that to, he specifically told them where not to tread. He told them, if you get to the land of the Edomites, be careful. You get to the people of Mount Seir, be careful. He said, I will not as much as give you 1 square foot, you understand my point, of that land because I have given it to somebody else. So I said to the brother that day, I said, listen, I know that God can prosper people anywhere, but I still maintain everywhere you are in life, there is a grace that God has given you to occupy that place. And if God does not, and listen, you must understand this, God actually plans your life. Actually, last week, that was the statement I wanted to make. That God actually plans your life and your success, your progress, your increase in life, the fulfillment of his promises, all right, is tied to your identifying it and working in the plan that he has made for you. Now, let me quickly correct something so that you won't get me wrong. It's okay, how do I know, therefore, the plan that God has for my life? I'm going to talk about that again because that's where people often get hung up. All right, you said that I cannot manifest these promises except that I am in the land of promise, which is what I'm trying to explain, that there is a land of promise. How do I therefore know my land of promise? All right, we often ask that question, and please, in case I forget, remind me that I said I'm going to tackle it. I will, okay? But let me sit on this matter first, okay, to explain to people that there is a land of your promise. It is not everything, okay, that does well, naturally speaking, that requires your participation. It's not. Many times, you know, because, you know, some people just have some things, you know, and I read a lot. They're one of the things that God has given me. You'll be amazed. You know, I know how to plan businesses. You won't believe it. Why don't you do? If I do, how will I preach? No, just think about it for a moment. And you know the interesting part? If I start it, I'm sure the gift that I thought I had would disappear. God will make it, he will deliberately confound it so as to, you know, redirect me in the right direction. When we're coming from Suka, was it when we're going or coming, I was telling Bishop, I said before, okay, it was yesterday, right? No, yes, I was telling him yesterday because I went to preach in Suka. It was one that went with me. I said, before I used to say that, I'm not Mr. Know-All-O, when I want to give, we just maybe analyzing things, all right, like BlackBerry had a problem, Microsoft was having problems, you know, in some areas. I said, before I used to say, I'm not Mr. Know-All, maybe. I said, but after I said that for a long time, I now realize that many of the things I will say, 4 years later, they'll start doing it. I said, well, maybe I actually know a lot more than I thought I did. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Like now, BlackBerry Messenger is on, it's on every platform now, almost every platform. I said this years ago. They said this company is having problems. I just give a few strategies that if they follow it like this, okay, these guys will revamp this company. But of course, nobody's listening to me. They are not calling me. So I can't even tell them. But why I want to know that is this. A lot of times, things like that fly around in my mind. There are times I tell Inka, look, this is an idea. Develop this thing. It will work well in your business. Develop this thing. And I'll atomize it for him. Like they say, oh, you know, ask, why don't you do it? Because I have to preach. That's what I'm trying to explain. Once, they asked me, Smith Wigglesworth, I think, was the one that was speaking. He said this. He said, I know a lot about God, much more than I am able to teach. That is, I have the knowledge. I have the desire to teach it to people. But I don't even think about doing it. Why? He said, because when I start, I lose the ability to win souls. That's what he said. The man said, if I step into that office of a teacher and I want to start dissecting scriptures and trying to explain things line by line, precept upon precept, I lose the ability to win souls. Some people have questioned the fact that there's a statement I make very a lot of times that if I want to organize a program, if there are unbelievers you're inviting, I'm not coming. that I don't have the gift of connecting with unbelievers. It doesn't mean that, listen, that they can't get blessed. If you're inviting Pastor Bank to go somewhere to come and preach, I assume it's a Christian gathering. There is nothing wrong. I mean, I love Rehan Bunky. May God bless him. May God increase him. May God multiply him. That, you understand my point? That is, bring many more like him onto this earth. That's what I mean. Am I one of them? No. Why? Because each person has an area now. It's very different from, can you share the word of God with an unbeliever? Yes, every Christian should be able to do that. You don't have to be a preacher. So in that area, I and those who are listening to me are equal. But when it comes to the kind of unction that makes you grab a microphone, expect people to sit down and listen to you, I talk to believers alone. I assume you already believe. I assume we don't have any question on, is it scriptures, are the scriptures correct or they are not? I'm sure I don't have to be discussing with you, is Jesus Christ the Son of God? If you are still thinking about it, please leave here, all right? Not because I'm angry with you, but I can't help you. I talk from the premise, okay? I have it in my mind that you already agree with me on some basic fundamentals, which is the reason why, now at least I have to qualify my statements. He said, pastor a church. You know, there's nothing wrong with pastoring a church. Some of my best friends, and some of my best disciples, some of my best, all right, people I admire the most, they pastor churches. So why don't you want to do it? It is simple. Like my friend said, Topsy, he said simply that many people are already doing that one. That is not what we want you to do. Because there are things you say when you start pastoring churches, you can't say them anymore. Not because you will be afraid to say them, but the unction and the ability to say it will vanish from your soul. So for now, brethren, hear it again. I have no such plans. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying I won't change my mind in 10 years. You know, I don't belong to myself. I don't. God, after a while, I say, okay, this phase is over. We move to another phase. But the phase I am in currently, I'm trying to explain something. That the manifestation, let me give an example. Paul said, I'm going to give you a promise. Paul said, we have this, that our sufficiency, our adequacy is not of ourselves, but of God who has made us able or adequate as ministers of the new covenant. He was speaking, that's a promise. We can all claim that. But I'm saying, the manifestation is tied to your own geography. It's tied to your own land of promise. You now decide, and it causes a lot of confusion. And many of the problems you have in what you call churches today, many, I'm not saying all, many, I'm not even saying most, but many of the problems is tied to the fact that everybody thinks that once you start preaching, you have to be a pastor, the way we describe pastor, which is a very wrong way most of the time anyway. A pastor, according to the scriptures, is a man, the woman you go to, all right, to hear divine counsel, to grab understanding of the will of God. It's not the man who greets you when you are sick. It's not the one that baptizes your child. You know, that's my point. It's not the one that buries your dead. It's not the one that conducts your wedding. Even though he might do that, anybody can do that. Any elder, any minister should be able to do that. The pastor is not the one that visits you when you are sick. He's not the one that arranges church finances. All right? Those are the jobs of what the Bible calls deacons. So deacons and elders, they can do all those things. So when you pick the name pastor, people often say that, you know, a pastor has to be compassionate. He has to be this. I understand what they mean. When you are crying, he should be able to cry with you. I don't agree. A pastor should know how to feed you. He should know if you are crying, he'll tell you, shut up and stop crying and hear what I want to say. Are you getting my point? Yes, he should know the word that is required for that season. That's what makes him a pastor. The primary duty of a pastor is not ekbele. Sorry. Ozugo. Ndo. Ogadim. No. The primary purpose is I need to give you food. I need to feed you with knowledge and with understanding. That's his primary duty. So, I'm going to explain something anyway. I just wanted to drop that by the way. So, it is not everywhere where my adequacy as a minister of the gospel will manifest. Once I leave my own land of promise, problems will start. You go and organize citywide crusade. Are you getting my point? Once some people organize a program, they invited me. Students, University of Nigeria here, and it was a big fellowship. They were going to invite a lot of people, and used to welcome new students and all of that. So they thought about it. Because of the popularity of the program on radio then, on Cosmo FM, The Way of Success, all right? So they decided to come and invite me. What is the thing? ABC of relationships, something like that. I said, me. Do I look like Prince Fuwe to you? Are you getting my point? Now, in fact, when I wrote the book, should I say yes? I was like, you say you are not a married minister. Till now, I'm not. And if you organize a program on, that is, you want to do outreach on marriage, you invite me, I will not accept. Maybe in 5 years' time, I may start. I'm giving you a start what? Today. Yenzu, right now. You are getting my point. All right? Now, I look at the people. I said, number one, you want to do outreach to new students. You want to give you a number of Kenkatas. You should invite Kenkatas. Now, I told them straight. When they finished, they said what they are trying to do is to invite, they want to use the marriage and relationship this thing to invite, to attract people. I said, that's fraud. And when they now come, we'll now give them the truth. I said, me? Participate in your fraud. Lie. I didn't know that people like such things. I said, I know they join. I refuse to. I don't. But I told them simply, listen, I wasn't angry with them. I just gave them a number of points. I said, number one, stop doing such things. Do things openly. If you want to teach on marriage, let it be because you want to teach on marriage. If you want to attract people, tell them, I want to attract you. Michael Jackson is coming. Tell them. Sounds funny. No, you'll be amazed. You see, just by the way, for if you're a minister of the gospel, God doesn't enjoy gimmicks. So. All these gimmicks, they are done because of lack of power. You should go and pray so that power will fall. You know what I'm saying? So that you know the power of God. Forget gimmicks. That's why we have a lot of problems in Christianity. The crowd you attracted with fine music cannot be kept with good word. Nothing wrong with entertaining people. You know, one of the problems we have in Christianity is that we mix things up too much. We think that there's a problem with some things. There's nothing wrong with dancing, being happy. I told the guys those days, look, just say what you want to say. Now, if you want people, look, for example, in Lagos now, experience is coming up. Pastor Paul Adeferas is inviting and spending scores of millions of naira to entertain Lagos for a night. His entertainment is good. If you want to go, please go. You will have fun. I mean, in fact, sometimes I worry about how many minutes each person will have to sing. When you see the lineup of powerful people, CC Winers, I mean, the ones coming from America, at least five. Load the whole, so it's fine. But when you now want to say that, you know, I digress into that, trying to help people, okay? Just do your thing straight. That's why when I do programs, in fact, I will print it there. Those that we used to go to Benin to do programs, for believers only. Do you know the funny thing? In the midst of that, I told you once, a man came from Oka to come and see me here. He said he used to listen to me on radio. And I was the one that finally persuaded him that God existed. Can you believe that? And I was wondering, what did I say? When I talk, I assume you know. If you don't know, I leave you alone. I don't have time. Go and listen to Ravi Zacharias. If you are not sure God exists, listen to Ravi Zacharias. Don't listen to me. I assume. Now, because God knows what he's doing. If each person functions in his own proper place, you'll be amazed at the results you will get. Many times, God says to people, go and sing. They come and start preaching. Somebody go and preach, start singing. Listen, if I pastor a church, it will be a very, very unusual church. I'm one person, I don't believe in democracy. I don't have not one jot of faith in democracy when it comes to spiritual things. I was still talking with one of our brothers a few days ago. I said, when I was a fellowship president on campus, all right? We had, you know, in my fellowship, we used to call it core group. The core group is the main executive. We had about like six or seven of us of the fellowship. The interesting part, it didn't cross our minds that everybody had to preach being a member of core group. No, we knew who the preachers were. Only two or three of all those of us in core group, but I preached. And I alone, talking to you today, preached more than the other people put together. And there was no quarrel. There was no quarrel about it. You see people these days, they are doing democracy. This one has not preached. This one has not preached. That's why you get it. There's no word flowing. Because they are doing democracy. It's my turn. What turn is your turn? Listen, I've left my message, but I have to explain these things. In life, especially when it comes to church, there's no competition. Some people say, how come you are there? It's only people like you that are preaching. If you can preach, take the microphone, go there. You think it's an easy job? I'm a preacher. Eh? So now when I see people who are not anointed and they give them a microphone, I ask my wife, I'm basically feeling sorry for them. That's, if you stay there for long enough, you get injured, you go wound. Listen, you stay behind the pulpit long enough without an anointing, you go wound. Literal wounding. Is that wounding correct? But when you ask somebody, you preach, like now, we preached yesterday, right, Bishop? Came back from Nsukka, early this morning, went back to Nsukka again, preached. I'm back here tomorrow morning, I'm preaching. In the afternoon, I'm recording for radio. Then in the evening, I'm going to the radio station to go and do a recording, you know, because I have an interview. Listen, if you are not called to do this job, try it. I'm not stronger than you. It's just that, listen, I have an unction. I was born to do it. It flows in my system. I can preach in my dream. It's not a joke. If I preach pretty tired during the day, I sleep, I can continue the message in the dream. If you guys can come, we'll meet there. Everybody, I'm telling you. That's what happened to Smith Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth explained clearly. This teaching thing, let me leave it alone. But when it comes to winning souls, give me the microphone. When it comes, you know, to healing people en masse, raising the dead, that's my job. But then when they want to start teaching, he sits down. I listened to Ken Hagin, and I also read in the material. He said, when the Lord began to deal with him, teach, he felt like shouting, oh, today God is going to bless somebody. Everybody will be shouting. God said, listen, this nobody is on where I send you. And then, this is the interesting part. One day, he now decided to do as the Holy Spirit had been leading him. So that day, he sat down and gave a Bible lesson. Very, very, he said, I made it as slow as possible. Just to prove to God it wouldn't work. Because he was coming out of a culture, a custom, that this is what preachers are supposed to do. They should shout and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk nonstop. They shouldn't take time out to explain things to people line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. No, they just keep talking. He said, nobody's going to invite me to come and preach if I don't do that. So that day, he decided, okay, God, I'm going to give you one session. See, it won't work. He talked very slowly, very, very drab. To his surprise, he had the greatest result in ministry that day than many weeks of shouting put together. Why? Our sufficiencies of God is a promise. Our adequacies of God is a promise. But the manifestation of your promise is tied to your own land of promise. When he connected with his land of promise, you know, those the one who were in school, they tell you that as a minister, you should be having visions, revelations. We try, you know me too, I close my eyes, do like this. The vision not gracious, now I leave the vision alone. People will tell you all kinds of things, that if you sit down there and pray long enough, God will begin to show you things that are going to happen that day. Look, all those who did it, where are they? I've been clear. Listen, I tried too. Nobody said I not try. Don't think that I was born with wisdom. Me too, I tried. But I was quick to learn. Before you start hearing familiar spirits. I'm telling you, you tune this your ears too much. Demons will say, oh God, he wants to hear something. We'll talk to her now. The Holy Spirit says, you don't want to talk. We will not mind to talk. After God will say, okay, go ahead, talk. The man will start hearing voices. I'm feeling like, yes, as I was talking, Holy Spirit, familiar spirit. Those who have insight, we know this guy is operating by familiar spirits. And after a while, he starts seeing real things, but they're actually demonic. Start prophesying money out of your pocket. As I see right now, you have 5,000 in your breast pocket. You collected from the ATM as we are coming. God said, bring it only. And he's not lying. The money is there. You came from the ATM, but some demons were tracking you, reporting to him. When I realized something early, nobody might side with that. If God wants to change it tomorrow, that's his own job. You understand my point? After I say, bank, you have finished this season. Let's move you to another season. It happens. You can't persuade me to see vision for you now. Lie. I will teach you. That's my job. I pray for you. I teach you. If you are not blessed by that, go somewhere else. You are not my disciple. You know what I'm saying? God has not sent me to you. If my teaching and my praying doesn't help you, please move on. You are looking for somebody who will touch you and say, as I began to touch you, like I began to see. There are people who see. I have friends who see you. I'm serious. Good men of God, before they close their eyes like this, they start seeing things. That is, Good men of God. No familiar spirit. No demon. Holy Spirit. Join hands with them to pray. You must hear something. That's their gift. But they can't teach one-tenth of what I can. And what a real church is, everybody understands his gift. Even this area of money. You know, I've been telling you again and again. Listen, every Christian should give, amen? Amen. Every Christian should give, amen?
Amen.
But, having said that, it has never been an idea in my mind, having read the scriptures, that Christians contribute equally to sponsor the same job. Lie. I am telling you the truth. God, please, I'm not bragging. I'm trying to help the people of God to understand. If I ran TBN, I would never do praise at home. You know what they do on TBN? The whole week we are begging for money, send us money. I can't understand it. So how you get money? I will tell you. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. It is acceptable according to each person, what each person has. But I understood this long ago, that if I run a ministry that spent ₦1 billion a month, most of the money will come from not more than 12. That's just the way it happens. That is the way I'm committed to preaching, coming here. Every weekend I'm here, Tuesdays I'm here. There are people who, God said, this is your job. See what that guy is saying? Make sure it's in the airwaves. And as they are faithful in that, God pumps more money into them. It's not kalu. It's not I give, I get. It's more like the more you give, the more you are able to give. It is not Pastor Banky. After preaching now, you now suddenly have more people preaching to you. No, listen, does it make sense? They say, the more you preach, the more people preach to you. No, the more I preach, the more I have understanding to be able to preach some more. It's called, he increases, how does it go again? He said, he that multiplies it to the sower, all right, and bread for food, shall both multiply and supply and multiply your seed for sowing. So what he does is to give me more unction to preach some more if I'm faithful with what I have already. So people who do that financial side of it, it's the same thing. If God realizes that this fellow, if I give him money, this work will be done. And this is calling. The more he does, the more he pumps money into his hand. This is why we start making a mistake. Somebody start giving a testimony. He said, this brother last week, he gave ₦1 million. This week, God gave him ₦10 million. People start selling land. God didn't give it. That is all those Jaguda offerings. You know now, you've tried it too. The time you sold your shoe and gave us offering, you tried for 3 weeks barefoot. By the time God had mercy on you, he gave you slippers. Just to prove to you that that's not how shoes come. If you need shoe, ask for shoe. Don't sow stupid seed of shoe to get more shoes. You need shoe, ask for it. You need a car, ask. Don't go and give out spare tire. It's true. What confuses people is that when you see a man walking in the realm of his own office, are you getting my point? In which God said, there is he. Go and read that Romans chapter 12. He said, God has given each person, he said, grace has been given to each person according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He said, let each exercise them accordingly. He said, he that giveth, that's it, with liberality. He shows you simply, there is a man that his job is to give. Those are the kind of people that listen. Anytime they put their hand to something, it just turns to money. Every time they turn anything, they always see money everywhere. If they enter this place and they don't give, they say, if you just put pure water for outside, how many people go back? That is sharp. Their head don't calculate. And if you leave them, they will make it. You won't believe that is this pure water they are selling. Everything they put their hand to just turns to money like this. The way I look at scripture and understanding will just bellow upon me, and inside we hit the people that listen to me. In the same manner, they just look and say, boy, this is now bush. You are seeing bush. They are seeing money. How they can divide this, do this, and let them start doing it. In a few years, millions just flowing from there. And so, boy, how do they take manage? It's a grace. It's grace. So you find, what's happening is that they are in their land of promise. Many times, people who don't have understanding will go and tell them that you have to work for God, you have worked for money enough. Then they now go and enter Bible school, become pastor, problem. Then ministry starts lacking money. There's no anointing in the pulpit because the guy there doesn't know Jack. No anointing, no understanding, nothing, no grace. Nothing is flowing in his direction at all. And there's no money because he's not where his grace lies to go and collect the money and use it appropriately. So the whole body is suffering. You come to church, church is dry. Those who have anointing to preach, nobody to give them money. The whole place is upside down. That's why I encourage every Christian, go and read that my book, How to Work for God. Those kind of people should locate that they are as important as a man preaching. Because if they don't bring the money, he can't talk. Think this microphone is free? Each person, if we locate our gift, stay there, everybody will be blessed. That's the point I'm making. Let nobody deceive you that it's only when you are preaching you're doing the work of God. I keep on saying that. I've used this one extensively to explain that point. That grace, you see, the promises of God are fulfilled when you're in your land of promise. That was why Abraham emphasized, do you understand my point? Emphasized to Eliezer, make sure you don't take my son back. If you take him back, you have suspended the manifestation of the promise. Like I told you, many years ago I read the scripture. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It will not turn me into a businessman, because it's a promise, and I have to be in my land of promise for that word to be fulfilled. Some say, no, this word, we have to work it. So now go and start looking for money. Go and start borrowing money from bank. Doing business you don't have the grace to do. After a while, you are owing everybody. You are owing the bank. You are owing yourself. You are owing your wife. You are owing your father-in-law. You are owing your father. You are owing everybody. You scatter your good name everywhere. Why? Because you read the scripture. That said, prosperity will flow towards you like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. You forget that that is a promise that will be fulfilled only when you are in your land of promise. Thank God for understanding. When I heard it, what I heard was not what most people will hear. When I read that scripture, what it just said to me in simple terms is, go wherever you have to go. Do whatever I commissioned you to do. Don't worry about money. That was what was in my head. So then, I was living in Lagos, walking in Lagos. I said, well, I was coming to Enugu. He said, money is in Lagos. And I was looking, I said, no, money is in the Bible. Money is in the promise of God. And I'm adding to it today. Money is there when you are in your land of promise. If you're in your land of promise, famine cannot make you go broke. You hear what I said? Famine cannot make you go broke. That was why God had to pull the ears of Isaac. Where are you running to? You're running to Egypt. Because of famine. Sow in that land. Once you identify your land of promise, brethren, sow in it too. I don't know what I heard I said. Once you are able to identify your land of promise, sow in it. I said to you, land of promise can be physical, geographical. You get my point. But this is physical geography. God can say to you simply, all this is your struggle. If you like struggle for now to tomorrow, as long as you believe that if I'm not in Port Harcourt, there's no breakthrough. That's it. That's it. You're struggling. You know, oh God, may God not stand in your path. Your donkey could jam wall. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? If God stands in your front, your donkey will be jamming wall. And once your donkey is jamming wall recklessly, don't fight. Wait, ask the donkey, are you seeing things I can't see? Ask the donkey simply, oh boy, are you seeing things I have not seen? No, it's very important though. All these deliverance people, that's why they cause confusion. It says your enemy is not your enemy. No, listen. Your enemies cannot be strong. If you're in the will of God for your life. If they are strong, and I was reading in Saka this morning. I said, look, from that number 23. Balaam said it simply, how can I curse the person that God hasn't first cursed? How can your enemy triumph over you if God is not angry with you? You are getting the point? So you see, forget the enemies. If your donkey is running anyhow, wait, you go and pray. Am I sure I'm facing the land of my promise? I'm just trying to do what everybody says works. Listen, I said to you before. Listen, let me quickly drop this one again. Ishmael is also blessed to an extent. True of us. If you follow Ishmael, you may get confused. If you get up and everybody says that, look, this is your business, just abandon this one. Carry your body, get American visa, and go to America, and then start another thing. This is the interesting part. You may get it, you go there, you will start making some money, which when you convert it to naira, is bigger than the money you used to have before. That is not proof. That is not proof that you are doing what is right. Because when Jacob first went to the house of Laban, Esau prospered more than him. In case you do not know, when he was returning, the things that Jacob was using to try and give him and say, don't be angry, he looked at it like, you know that kind of thing? That is a small thing. Don't worry about it. He had much more than that. Ishmael grew before Isaac. You know that. He was born before Isaac. He was a big boy when Isaac was still a toddler. And that is what causes confusion, all right, in the hearts of many people. They think because I have changed course and then doors open suddenly, it means that I must be doing what is right. No, it doesn't always follow. Ishmael also has a degree of blessing. But my covenant, God said, I will establish only with who? With Isaac. I have never, God knows, one of the things he taught me in life, I have never enjoyed what everybody is doing. When I wanted to do ministry the way I do it today, that you all know, I won't lie to you, I did not know anybody, not one person that was doing it like that. I know they existed. There are some people I could take examples from, all right? But I didn't know anybody that did it the way I'm doing it today. When I decided to aggressively put our materials online for free, I got plenty counsel that it was not good. I've never enjoyed what everybody is doing. If everybody is prospering one way, that is, I don't know. That's the very way I don't want to prosper. I don't know. It's just something in me. I just say no. If everybody likes the same kind of car, that's the very one I don't. I just will not like. Maybe because I just knew that. Listen, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many people are flowing on that one. Many people are flowing into what appears like a blessing, but it's the blessing of Ishmael. Isaac sometimes appears slow. But it's not even the magnitude of the blessing that you see in Isaac's life that we are talking about. That's not the primary thing. The primary thing is the fact that God's covenant is established with that man. And that is what we are going for. That God's grace is the one running things for you. That God is causing, even after you have gone, that is years ago, after they say there used to be a man that lived like 100 years ago, your works are still speaking till today. Do you get the point I'm making? That's what we are talking about. Not just to succeed temporarily. Okay, no, I have to let's forget all these measures of success that men try to throw in our faces. Those things, you will enjoy them, throw them away, enjoy them, get angry with them, leave them. You know, we will buy cars, we'll be tired. After a while, we'll say, in fact, I'm tired of driving, I want to be riding bike. After a while, you buy a bicycle. Why? You just be happy. You get my point? No, what really matters is that God's covenant is established. When I make covenant now, that is, you do something that will change the world around you, not just cause you to prosper. That you do something that people have been blessed by it. It's not just you. Don't ever forget, this, your stomach is not going to increase in size. Or you think it will increase in size? It won't. The amount of food you are eating now, that's about all the maximum amount you'll be able to eat all your life. So God is not planning to bless you so you can eat some more. Get that point very clear. What God wants is that he wants to be known by your name. That when people are being blessed, they say, how come we are blessed? There was one man who walked with God. That's the reason why we are blessed. Please, I hope you are getting my point. So don't let the temporal, immediate prosperity of Ishmael, don't let it deceive you. And that's what Satan tries to use to deceive people. You are sitting down there. People have already gone this way. They've done this. Look at how they are making it. Is that even Ishmael has a degree of blessing. He has a degree of blessing. But we are saying that God's covenant is not established with him. What's my emphasis? Let me get back to it. So I can answer the question that I said I will answer. All these promises of God, all these promises, they are tied to you being in your land of promise. They are. I won't say your land of promise is not just physical land, even though that may apply. If God doesn't send you, you run away to England, and God didn't send you there, you run back from there. Even though you first Ishmaelishly digest that word, digest it quickly so I can go on. You will first Ishmaelishly prosper for some time. Listen, let me quickly say this. Be careful of things that work rapidly. Don't be too confident as a child of God if everything is predictable. I pray you will understand that. If everything is predictable, don't be too confident. Your life must have some degrees of uncertainty. I'm telling you, I pray you digest that. I pray you digest it. So when people are trying to plot your life for you accurately, be afraid. Be afraid. You are about to birth an Ishmael. There are things you do that only make sense to you. It's important. Are you getting what I'm saying? There should be things you are doing that it only makes sense to you. You are the only one that thinks it's reasonable. Everybody thinks it's foolish. W.F. Kumuyi, many years ago, I listened to him. He explained that faith risks. That's what he said. That is what he was saying, in effect, that faith takes risks. Read Ben Carson's book, beautiful book, Take That Risk. He also discussed that in there. But in life, your life cannot always be predictable. There are things that you will do that if it went wrong, you will fail properly. And you are doing it only because of your understanding, which you derived from walking with God, walking with His Word. Those are the points in which your life turns around to be different. Those are the points that God establishes His covenant with His Isaac. Once a friend of mine was talking to me. He was planning to leave. He's going to one European country. And that they were speaking. He said, you see, when you get there, you can plan for your children. When you get here, you can do this for your children. You can do this. Your life is there. And he was talking and talking. If it is now, and that was then. That was many years ago. If it's now, I know we'll keep quiet too. And we'll keep growing. I have learned now that now I won't keep quiet. But what I was saying in my mind that time is, oh, foolish Galatian, who has bewitched you to believe that Europe can give security to your children? It's foolishness. What did I call it? What did I call it? What did I call it? No country can give your children security. The only security that you and your children can have, that's the one I've given my children to. I pray for them. Don't ever forget Jabez. Jabez is one of the best examples in the Bible to follow. Just praise to God. Oh, that you will bless me indeed. You look at your children, people say, hey, you need health insurance for your children. You need college insurance. What else do you need? Life insurance. And this, the structure is there. So you carry, you know, till now, I will tell you the truth. Till now, I say laugh when people tell me they want to go and have their children abroad so they can have an American or British visa. I always find it funny. To me, it's amusing. No, I'm not joking. It's amusing. It's totally amusing to me. It makes me laugh. Kind of feeling. Have your children anywhere. If you like, have them in Kutangura. Have them in Malawi. Have them in Botswana, Australia, Nigeria, Ghana, Ethiopia. All the will of God. But wherever it is you have those children, the only thing, because you see, get to America. This America citizenship that you want to fight and die for. Poor people food the place boku. Ah, no, there are plenty. They are all over the place. Say, so, let me just give my children a chance. I don't understand. The chance my children need is my prayer. I need to lay hands on them periodically. I do it all the time. They want to go and sleep. I say, come here, come here, come here. In fact, no, my children, they've learned to decipher my voice. It sounds the same whether I'm angry or whether I'm happy, sometimes. But they know which one. If I say, hey, bring your head here. And if the guy don't check, say, I not commit. He will smile and come and do like this. He knows it's a blessing. You want to go and sleep? He shall be well with you. God will keep you, bless you. His angels will watch over you. My wife just taught them one new thing. If you ask my children, I just see them next time, ask them. Say, Olubenga, how are you? It will first catch you by surprise. They don't say fine. They give you a long sentence. How does it go again? He said, it is well with me. I am growing. As I am growing, I am increasing in stature, in favor with God and with man. Is that how they say it? So, as I'm getting older, I am getting wiser. They give you one long sentence. If I see catches me by, like today when I arrived, when I told him when to preach in the morning, as I got back home, I just got upstairs. Hey, Davik, how you doing? He started talking. So I paused for a moment. Then I realized that, oh, it's following what their mother taught them, which she learned from one of her friends. That's what your children need, though. So you ask my children, how are you? They'll give you one long sentence. There's nothing like fine. What do you mean by fine? They give a prophetic line. It's a prophetic line. That's what they need. That's what they need. When they are going to bed at night, bring your head. The guy will smile. Come, bend the head like this. I tap, it's well with you. Amen. Shall be well with you. Amen. God will keep you. Amen. You will grow strong. You know, you declare. That's what they need. That way, let them be Rwandan citizens. They will prosper. Amen. You find them in Nigeria, they prosper. They go to Australia, they prosper. Anywhere they go, they prosper. The power of prosperity is conferred upon them. You can have your children anywhere, like I said, though. But for me, it cannot be because I think it will give them an opportunity. I said, till today, this is America you're talking about. You know, if you want to be a citizen, all you need to do is have enough money. You know, till today, this today, you want to be an American citizen, it's money. At the days of the Romans, you know, they told Paul, Paul said, I'm a Roman citizen, I paid for this thing. So what do you mean? You just need to just prosper plenty and carry plenty of money, go to America, invest it. They give a residency permit. I'm serious. You invest $1 million in America now, they give a residency permit. After some years, you apply for citizenship. What am I trying to explain? All right? This is what I'm making. Your blessing is tied to your own geography, not a human geography. It's tied to you locating the land of your own promise. If it's a physical land, stay there. Are you getting my point? It's a spiritual land, a professional land, an economic land, or whatever it is, stay there. If the blessing is coming, it doesn't meet you there. When it arrives, you won't be able to participate in it. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? You say, let me answer that question, and I begin to close. Now, so this is a question that we often ask. Okay, what are you saying then? How do I exactly know my own land of promise? I want to understand something. Maybe we'll develop it again next time. I want to understand something that in Christianity, it's not every time that you have an accurate description of these things. What God actually commanded, and this is what I try to explain to people, is that you remove, as it were, the obstructions. And that's where you walk. You know, I was teaching in Nsukka, and the question was on pressing towards the mark. And I explained to them again that, you know, people think about pressing towards the mark being that I press towards winning 100 million souls. I press towards preaching 10,000 messages. I said, no, that's not what you are pressing towards. The mark you are pressing towards is Christ-likeness in every area of life. I mean, that's something. I explained to them that, listen, if you correct your spirit, your attitude, he said, take heed to your spirit, like we preached here before. If you correct your spirit, correct your attitude in every aspect of life, and you perfect them to the exact image of Christ, then that is the mark that God said you should reach. Now, this is the point. If you do that, you will naturally find yourself all the time in the center of God's will. Let me say it this way. What God wants to do is inside you. Did I hear an amen? Yes. Nobody ever begged me to preach. Yes, I'm serious. Now, why don't people do what they are called to do? That's the point I'm trying to make. It is because, you know, like Solomon said, God made men upright, but they sought out many devices. Ah, please, may God deliver us from many devices. Amen. What do I mean by that? Human beings make things that is the world sets before you as a standard, things that God said must never be a standard. Practical example, we all know, money. For many of us, If at this age you have not built your own house, you have not succeeded. People have to see that you have bought a car at this particular point in time, and you've stopped buying Tokumbo at this particular, you know, it's there. You know, including those that love God and who just want to get people off their shoulders. Let me say something. One day a colleague of mine said to me, we're both in the academic sector, and he said to me that now that I'm now a professor, I cannot try and do this ministry work. And I remember the day he said it, and I said to myself instantly, I said, if I talk like this, I will die young. This promise of long life will not be manifested if I talk the way this man is talking. That to do ministry work, I will first settle professorship. I work in that place, and I can assure you, there is nothing to it. Vanity upon vanity, all is vanity, is like chasing after the wind. Don't respect a man because he bears the title professor. You can manipulate yourself into that place. I work there, I know what I'm telling you. There are professors that are professoria. Yes, they are manipulated professors. Some people know this is how to become a professor. They sit down, I just want to be a professor. And since the system does not reward you for being a good doctor, the system does not reward you for being a good teacher, the system does not in any way reward you for being a good person in that environment. It just rewards you for writing papers. So you can be a useless doctor, you don't go to work, you hardly see you don't talk to your students, you hold yourself up in the corner and be doing all kinds of things, including telling lies. Once it gets published and you have enough of it, you're a professor. Is it a bad thing? No. It's a good thing to be a professor, amen? If you're in the academic sector, God will make you a professor, amen?
Amen.
But it's still vanity. Whether God makes me or not, it's still what? Vanity. If God gave you a car, is it a good thing? Can it still catch fire?
Yes.
Thank you. It is still vanity. What I'm trying to say is that now that we know it's vanity, if you have an idea that you have a calling concerning that which is eternal, how do you therefore put that one first? Then when I put vanity, I've settled vanity, and I settle down. I said, let me not pursue that which is eternal. Does that make sense? In case you're an academic, Bishop, let me just tell you now. I have told you, as a matter of fact, the system does not reward you for being good to your students. It does not. If you are the best teacher in that department, in fact, I won an award. Izujuku, you remember it? Best lecturer in pathology. The year I came, I got 2 awards. I go for promotion. I don't even put it. It's a waste of time. I don't know what the hell I said. I got 2 awards signed by the dean that this is our best lecturer in pathology. 2 areas. One, in delivering the best understood lectures. I have them. I can show them to you. And number 2, in having a good relationship with students. 2 awards. I was not promoted 1 inch for any of it. If you teach diligently, for those who are in my field, you are a medical doctor, you are in clinic all the time, you are a surgeon, you are operating all the time. In fact, one of my colleagues here, one of my junior colleagues, one day told me, he said, Chief, one day when he first qualified as a consultant, he was always in theater, operating. One day, one of the senior colleagues called him and said, come. Every time I come here, I see your name, operation list. You're always operating. You continue like that, you won't go for help. The man told him straight. And he wasn't lying to him, he was telling him the truth. We have a man like that, you know who I'm talking about. He worked for years. Finally, they had to create a special, after an old man, create a special professorial chair just to honor him. He has helped more patients than many other people. Now, what I'm telling that is that I'm not trying to, you know, spoil the system, because what happens is that the system was created for a reason, all right? It's supposed to be show that you are into research. Do you understand? But you know, we know how to manipulate things. That's how human beings are. That's what I call a people without a spirit, all right? This is what I'm telling the story, Bishop. The temptation, therefore, is that you want to abandon many things that are good, but the system does not reward you for. Me too, I had that temptation. But one day I sat and I prayed to my God. God said, anything you do as unto the Lord. I said, simply, God, He said, follow me and I will make you. I said, Lord, even in this place, I will follow you and you will make me. Therefore, I'm not saying this to brag. I'm just telling you, just to educate you. In my department, I am the only lecturer that takes the matters of students who are having academic problems on my head. They're in my office all the time. That bottle of wine, you were asking me the other day, where they get it from? It's one of the girls that just finally passed. She said, sir, I wish I could bring you a car, bring you a house. She said, but sir, this is all I can afford, just to say thank you. I said, don't worry. I made a joke because she wrote a note. I said, I'll go and frame the note. You know, it was a promise I made to myself some time ago before the Lord. That whether you reward me for it or not, I will do it. If human beings lie, let them not reward me for it. I will do it. Why? It is good. It is right. And I'm doing it as unto the Lord. So your mates become professor before? I don't care. You know, I don't have mates. You know, remember that? Yes, I'm just on my own. I'm on my own. I'm competing with myself. This one, I went to Nsukka. Two people still came to greet me. Ah, I was your student, sir. Where are you now? Hey, that's my professorship. Are you getting my point? Yes, they are Christians. They heard I was coming to preach. They were excited to come and attend that this man is the one preaching today. Yes. Paul said that you are the proof of my apostleship. You are getting the point I'm making? So I decided that this is the thing. These are the things that matter. There's a reason why I'm explaining this. Because what happens at the world, that's what I'm talking about. And that's why I was telling you, Bishop, because you decided to go want to teach. Teaching will not be rewarded, humanly speaking. In that place, they don't reward you for teaching. Yeah, they employed you to teach. But you don't. And listen, by the way, what you reward, you encourage. It's the principle of life. What you reward, you encourage. But I'm saying that despite the fact that people will not reward it, the system will not reward it. If it is the right thing, just do it. Because we are doing it as unto the Lord. Why I went into that is that, you see, these are the ways by which we lose our direction in life. When human beings set a standard that is not in alignment with the word of God, and we follow it. As I was telling you about the man who told me that, now that I'm a professor, I can now do ministry work. And I said to myself, Jesus is Lord. I told my wife that time, if I think like this, widowhood for you. If I dare think like this, and I find that thing a lot of times, I sit down like this, you know, inspiration will come, poof, from this side, academic. Inspiration will come, poof, from this side, ministry. Tell the academic, wait first. We got to write this sermon. I rearrange the sermon, ta-da-da-da-da-da-da. 4 pages full. I know, this is good. This will bless somebody. It's a choice I made. But the reason why I can make that choice is because I have realized that some things are grass. Are you getting my point? Yes. I have, look, and Kenegan said that the Lord said to him straight that you have 2 ministries quite all right. You are a prophet and you're also a teacher. But you are first a prophet before you are a teacher. Therefore, you must put your prophetic ministry ahead of your teaching ministry. And he said to him straight, if you do not do that, that is, there was a time he wasn't doing it. He said, if I did not come out to deliberately correct you, you will have died at the age of 55. What I say to one, I say to all. And I said to myself, Pastor Banky, how will you love to die at the age of 55? I said, bad idea. So I said, if it's a bad idea, what I will do is that if I'm a prophet and a teacher, let me quickly put the prophetic office in front, assuming my life is like Ken Higgins' own. So anything I'm doing, I try to put the appropriate office in front. That's just me. So anytime things clash, I know the one I put in front. You know what I'm trying to explain there? I realize, therefore, or I'm trying to emphasize the fact that, listen, one of the major reasons, because I answered the question that, okay, how do I know my land of promise so that the promise can be manifested? It is simple. I remove those things that lead people away from their land of promise. Like, what would have made Isaac leave the land of promise? Love. Do you hear what I said? Yeah, love a woman. And the woman said, let's go back to the land your father came from. That's why Abraham said, no, no, don't let that ever happen. Many of the things that human beings said are important are the reasons why people depart from their land of promise. Money must never be in front in your life. Never. Money must never be in front. When you wake up every morning, when you want to talk about money, say, money is added unto me. I pursue purpose and money is added unto me. In fact, you should write that on your wall. I pursue purpose. I pursue the will of God. I pursue righteousness. I pursue the kingdom of God. And all things, money is added unto me. Very important. When my wife and I are discussing the house, she wants to do something. You know when they started some of this network marketing? Let me talk about it. I'm not talking about network marketing now. I'm talking about the principle behind it. When they started network marketing, I said, listen, what are you selling? Selling grass mixed with vitamins. For how much? 10,000 naira. Is it not amaranthus that's the back of my house? Plus vitamin that they sell for 1 naira a tablet. Say, yes, the same thing, but this one. I tell my wife simply, I'm a doctor. These people are telling lies. Therefore, I will not sell it. I say, anything that only money makes me do is not the will of God. I don't know why I heard what I said. Anything that only do because of money, that they have looked at every reason. Listen, there's no job you are doing on this earth that there's nothing that you won't find something else apart from money inside. For example, the doctor is working, he earns money. It's good, isn't it? He says, okay, I don't love money, I won't work again. What happened to the sick people? So you see, for the love of the sick, he has to continue working. You are teaching somewhere. Who will teach those students? So everything you do in life, there's something that you are blessing somebody with. Anything you are doing, that you've looked at everything around you, the only reason you are doing these things is because there's money inside. It's not good. What did I say? This is another thing. Once the volume of money is the only pressure they are mounting on you to get you to join, no, it's of Satan. That's in your life, or in somebody else's life. Maybe it's not Satan. Your own life is a temptation. It's not the will of God. That's why one day a man was talking with me. Ah, he said, Pastor Banky, it's people like you that can move this thing. I said, is it not business? He said, yes, talk to my wife. He said, no, I've talked to your wife, but this kind of level, it's people like you that can move it. What he meant is that you are the type that know people that can drop 200K for a stupid pyramid. Without batting an eyelid. He now made one mistake. I was in his office. He showed me one check, 1 million. Showed me another check, 900,000. Showed me another check, 850. Another one, 1 million. He had photocopied it. That's what he used to market the thing. And said, listen, this is the kind of money I get paid. I make more money from this than I do from my job. He didn't know the more he spoke, the more he was discouraging me. Why? You are throwing money in my face. It's called temptation. What's it called? Temptation. And once I can identify it, I start fighting it. If you are just, you can help people. You never can tell. You can help people. Well, I say, okay. You can help people. I say, is that so? You can preach more. Eh? Are you serious? Then I'll be looking closer. But he didn't do that. He was saying that, look at my first check, 1 million. I say, 1 million. Satan. Look at my next check, 900,000. Hey, devil. You know, he didn't know what I was saying inside my mind. Bow before me and I will give you all the kingdoms of... That's all I was hearing. I tell my wife when I reach out, don't mind this guy. Like, I know they do. I want to spoil my name. And by the way, if you're a preacher, be careful. Even some good businesses run. Not even bad one, though. If you're a preacher, what did I say? If you're a preacher, I'm talking to preachers. Even some good businesses disappear. Just for the integrity of the ministry. That's it. Just for the integrity of the ministry. Just say, this one is good. How much more when it is bad? That day I said to myself, this man has made one terrible mistake. The only thing he's using to entice me towards that issue is money. That is the only reason I need to say no. That is, once I look, why are you doing this money? Do you believe what they are selling? I don't even know what they are selling. Do you think it will work? I don't know. But the man has shown me about 4 checks, heavy figures. 900,000, 800,000, 1 million. And my mom, at the end of the day, what do you do with the money? You lay foundation. You roof the house. If some people that were hurt by that process look at that house and say, it's not going to be better for you. Because of you, Hurricane Gwangjuan, this one that went to Philippines. The thing we face Nigeria, do like Tomahawk missile. Avoid all your neighbors. Come to your house. Remove the roof. If God is having mercy on you, he will blow smoke while you are running away. Because if not, he will go for the foundation while you are there. Just because some people say, no, no man, you know, go better because the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What is the point I'm making? We run the entering into our promised land comes naturally. If we remove the things that are distractions from our eyes, you will now discover that it is actually very easy to know that which is your promised land. Let me just drop a few lines with this, then I close. For example, you know where your gifting lies. You know the thing that gives you life when you are doing it, when you are not rewarded financially for it. You know those things. Then God has been leading you into the areas where you can prove yourself faithful. He has led you into areas where you can show. And those areas, when you are there, you're always outstanding. You have seen it. Actually, for Christians, the land of promise is very easy to identify. Let me stop here. We'll continue preaching next time. The Lord is good.